Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Okay, let's pray, and then we'll be in Genesis chapter 32. We're going to finish the chapter tonight, and I hope that it'll be a real blessing to your heart. So, Genesis 32, and we'll pray first, and then we'll read the scripture beginning in verse 24. Our Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us, all the blessings, Lord, beyond salvation, Lord, the peace that we have in the midst of our storms. And Lord, even though, Lord, our heart will tremble and Satan will try his best to cause us to doubt you, doubt your presence, your power, your provisions, Lord, we know within our heart that you still reign, you still in control, you still love us, and you'll take care of us because you've done it before and you're always faithful to do what you said you'll do. We thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you for these, Lord, that are gathered here, those that are with the teen group and with the children's group. Thank you, Lord, for all of us. Lord, we've mentioned several, Lord, that can't be here tonight because of surgeries, hospitals, stays, or, Lord, sickness, or being at the funeral home or work tonight. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would keep them safe, and we look forward to seeing them again, Lord, hopefully this Lord's Day. Lord, we do thank you in advance for our moms. We thank you, Lord, that we have a time every year that has been set aside to celebrate mom and to, Lord, just to honor her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that this Sunday we can do that here at the church. And I pray that we'll love our mothers and grandmothers, Lord. And Lord, let them know how much they mean to us, Lord. And we know that, Lord, you're the greatest, Lord, Heavenly Father, that we could ever ask for. We thank you that you care for us. We pray that you would help the Holloway's friend, family, Lord, that has, Lord, now gathered in the funeral home, Lord. I pray that you would give that family peace and help during this time. Pray for Miss Jennifer and her mother. I pray that you would help her mom, Lord. You would help Miss Shirley. You'd touch her, Lord, and through this you would draw her closer to your precious side. Lord, we pray for Miss Sarah. We miss her, Lord, here in the church and on the organ. I pray that you would give her a speedy recovery. I pray, God, that you would help Brother Wendell, Lord. You continue to touch him, give him strength, and help him, Lord, with the things that he's currently facing. We pray that you'll bless all the ministries, Lord, not only that's going on tonight, but all the ministries of this church. We pray that you will use this church for thy glory. Thank you, Lord, once again for Brother Gary, letting us be part of his life and him, Lord, being part of our life. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to, as we study the Word of God, that we'll concentrate much on what thus saith the Lord. You'll use us in a great way. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. And we're also thankful tonight that Miss Linda's here. I sure have missed her, and I'm glad she's able to be here tonight. You keep praying for the knee and shoulder that she's battling with right now. Verse 24 of Genesis 32. Verse 24, Genesis 32. I'm thankful for your desire to be here on Wednesday night for the Bible study, and for all those that that whether they be in some other state, some other country, that have prayed for this study and have been listening, watching through the website. What a real blessing that is to our hearts here at Open Door Baptist Church. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he, speaking of this angel, blessed Jacob there. And the Bible says, verse 30, that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Thank you, and be seated this evening. I want to just shortly step back, because last Wednesday night we had a visiting missionary with us, and I appreciate your kindness that you showed him while his family was here with us. Brother Sullivan, keep praying for him as they go to the state of Maine to establish good Bible-believing churches. And so I know that our mind may be a little foggy about the last study, so it's necessary for me to just step back shortly, and then we'll jump into these last verses of chapter number 32. Now, we read about the beginning of chapter 32 about Jacob was leaving his father-in-law, and he had been there for around 20 years serving his father-in-law and working for his father-in-law, and he's leaving there in chapter number 31, and when we get to chapter 32, Jacob sees a host, or actually two hosts of angels. And the Bible says that that these two hosts were watching over him and watching over his family and all the possessions that he had. And Jacob began to think about those that he longed to see back at his father's land. His father, of course, was Isaac. And while he was thinking about all these people that he hadn't seen in 20 years or so, he thought about Esau, his brother. You remember that Esau had threatened Jacob's life, and the reason Jacob had went to the land there of his grandfather Abraham's family, of Laban's land, which was his father-in-law, the dad to Rachel and Leah, was because he was scared for his life. And so he's going back to the land of Canaan, to the land of his father and grandfather, Abraham and Isaac. And he begins to think about Esau, and he begins to wonder and worry about Esau and how that Esau threatened to take his life. And so we saw the last time we were together in verse 13 that Jacob got a plan together. He had spent time in prayer, and we talked about his prayer, what a humble prayer it was, what a prayer of intercession it was, how he supplicated over this matter. And God revealed a plan to him, and he decided to send about 550 animals to his brother Esau. Now, Jacob and his two wives and their 11 sons and his servants are heading with all their possessions, their cattle, their sheep, their oxen, their camels. They're all heading back to Canaan. And so Jacob decides to stop, and he's got a plan in mind. And we studied how that he divided these 550 animals up into several groups. And he sent the first group with a servant. I don't know how many animals it was, but they divided 550 animals, and the first group was to go to Esau, and Esau would, of course, ask, "What is all these animals, and who are you?" And the servant would say, "I'm a servant to Jacob, your brother, and these presents are from him to you." And then a little later, the second group of animals and servant would come, and Esau would say, "Well, who are you?" And they would say the same thing. And there were going to be several groups that were coming at different times to meet Esau. What Jacob was doing was try to pacify the anger of Esau that he had towards him. And the Bible says that a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And Jacob knew that it'd be a hard thing to win his brother back. And so he thought he would send these gifts of animals. And so Jacob, when we got to verse number 20, 21, 22, and 23, the last thing that he decides to do is to have his two wives, Rachel and Leah, and the two women servants of theirs, probably Zilpah and Bilhah, and then the 11 sons, and they were to go ahead of Jacob. They were the next to last group. And they were to go ahead of Jacob, and Jacob's going to stay there all by himself. And the reason that he's going to stay there is so that he might pray, that he might agonize with God and beg God one more time to protect him. Remember, Jacob had said to the Lord, he said, "Don't you remember, God, you said that you were going to bless my seed as the sand of the seashore, as the stars of heaven. But if I'm dead, that promise won't come true." So he was trusting God's promise to him. And what a valuable lesson that is for us tonight, that we can just trust the promises of God. Now, we've worked ourselves up to verse number 24, and the Bible says that Jacob was left alone. Everybody's gone. Everybody that his servants, all the people that were part of his family, his animals, and Jacob is all by himself. He's going to be the very last one to see his brother. He is hoping that Esau's heart will be tender by the time they come face to face. I mean, there's this first group of presents of animals, a second group, a third group, a fourth group, and so on until 550 animals have been presented. And then after that, here comes two women, 11 boys, and one girl. And Esau, of course, is going to ask, "Who are y'all?" And they're going to say, "We're the family of your brother Jacob." And he's hoping that, as the Word of God says, that the old prophet said, "My eye affected my heart." He is hoping that Esau's eye will affect his heart. He is hoping that what he sees will tenderize his heart. And so Jacob decides that he'll be the very last one to show up and see Esau. And so he is left alone there. Now, notice that it says that while he is left alone in verse 24, there wrestled a man with him. Now, I'm really excited about what I'm about to share with you. I told my wife, she was having one of those agonizing toothaches, and she came on up here, and I'm really thankful that she did. And she said, "It better be good tonight." No pressure. And so I said, "Well, I think it is." I said, "I'm really excited about it, but I said, I don't know if it's going to overcome that toothache or not, but hopefully it will." But the Bible says that he's there by himself, and he has a wrestling match. Now, some of you may like wrestling, or you know when you growed up you like wrestling. And so this ought to interest you tonight. A wrestling match. And he's there, and he's going to wrestle a man until the breaking of day. Now, many of you know this story. Some of you may not. Some of those that will be listening through the way of the sermon audio may know it, may not. So I want to go through this story tonight. I want to take my time, and we probably won't get into chapter 33 tonight, but I want to look at two pictures that I believe is seen here in the story of Jacob wrestling an angel. Now, he's there all alone, and he's there to pray. And the first picture that I want you to see here, when we look at Jacob wrestling an angel, is a very instructive picture or an example to you and I when we are facing something that is frightful or fretful or troubling in our life. Now, is Jacob not facing something that is troubling him? Is he not? He's about to face his oldest brother. His older brother said, "It'll be my mission. It's my desire to kill you, Jacob." Jacob had to flee. He's been gone 20 years because of the wrath of his brother. So he is facing his life being taken from him. Sure, this is a frightful and a fretful situation in Jacob's life. Once again, Jacob does And you'll not see the word prayer in verse 24, but I'll prove it to you in a minute that he does pray. Once again, Jacob prays about the situation. A lot of times we worry and we like to get on the phone, we like to get on the Facebook, we like to get on email, we like to tell everybody about a problem, and we've not talked to the Lord one second about it. We've got to learn to pray about the problems that make us frightful and fretful. And that's what he did. Now, if you need proof that he prayed, you can look in Hosea. I'll read that if you don't want to flip over there. It's in the Minor Prophets, the last books of the Old Testament. The book of Hosea, and I believe along about verse number 12, Hosea is speaking to the Israelites. And he says about Jacob, verse 2, "The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him." Watch this. "He," Jacob, "took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed." Watch this. "He wept and made supplication unto him." There's the verse that lets us know that here when he was left alone, he was making supplication, he was weeping, he was praying about his frightful and fretful situation. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes God has to bring things that are frightful. Sometimes God must bring things in our life that cause us to fret and worry. Why? To get us on our knees like we are to be. God can drive us to our knees. God, you know, I'd rather pray because I wanted to, not because only because I had to. Yes, I got to pray every day. Sure, I do. But if that's my only motive, then I don't believe God's pleased with that. I believe God wants us to long to commune with Him. You know what prayer is? It's fellowshipping with the Lord. It's communion with God. I mean, let me ask you this. How many kings do you get to talk to every day? Come on, how many kings you get to talk to? You get to talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Shame on us if we don't take that. I mean, I don't know if some of you, and we have, besides America, the United Kingdom is our second, our most downloads was the United Kingdom. So I know a lot of folks in Britain watches and listens to this Bible study. And so I don't want you to be mad at me, but I didn't really care about who married who the other day. I'm not, those things just don't turn me on, so to speak. When Diane got married, it didn't bother me. I'm glad, you know, I didn't care, but the world wanted to watch. Well, Angela and them had recorded it, so Morgan wanted to watch it. Something about, you know, a princess getting married, so to speak, or someone marrying a prince. And so they watched. So I was across the love seat there. Good place to watch a wedding, on a love seat. But I was on the love seat, stretched across there watching. And I seen the Queen of England. I came out and was on the patio with the newlyweds and was waving. And boy, those folks of England were just so tickled that they got to see her and that she waved to them. And I'm sure that was a great honor, but it doesn't compare to talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And so I'm thankful that you and I can pray, we can commune, we can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that he was left alone there to pray, and he wrestled a man. Now, what a beautiful picture this is. Now, Brother Tim and Miss Holloway said, "Preacher, the reason we like your preaching so much is you preach what's in the Bible, but then you relate it to us. You make it understandable for us today." The Word of God is not some old book that is not relevant for us today. It's still the greatest book of all time. It will remain that way. And it's a book of instructions for you and I even today. No matter what changes in our world, the Word of God is still the great instruction manual. And so there's a beautiful picture you and I can get instructions from. We can get some help from. We can get an example here that we can apply to our life, that when we are facing something that is frightful or fretful, something that is troubling us, we can go to the Lord in prayer and not just pray a little Polly want a cracker prayer. Through the mouth, by the gum, watch out belly, here it comes. Not that kind of praying. I'm talking about real praying, supplicating, making intercession with the Lord. And the Bible describes this intercession that Jacob made as wrestling with a man. Jacob is wrestling with an angel. Now, we should do as Jacob did. There's times that we just need to get along. Are you listening to me tonight? It's hard to really pray about a situation when you're not by yourself. There's times you just need to get along. Anytime, for instance, yesterday, I was really struggling what I was going to preach. My mind was here, mine was there. And of course, I want to give my heart every time I preach or teach, but it being the homegoing service of one of our folks, I wanted to give my best, and I wanted to give what God wanted on my heart, and so I had to steal away, so I came up here after took kids' school, came home, went up here, and I stayed up here, and I gathered over there where Gary used to sit, and I wrapped my arm around that pew, and I prayed, and I wept, and I thanked God for Gary, and I said, Lord, I've got the honor to preach his homegoing service. I need some help. You've got to give me what you want me to have. But I've learned that when I steal away by myself, that it seems that the communication is better with me and God. I can hear him even more so. And you got to get away from that TV. Get away from that radio. Sometimes get away from the husband, the wife, the kids. I mean, you're going to have times where you get in your prayer closet and it's just you and the Lord. And he stealed away. He got away. And notice that he even got away from his family. Before he wrestled with this man, this angel, before he did some serious praying, he sent his family out. Are you with me? There's time. We love family altar, and every morning we gather for prayer before we go off to our day. And I love that. And we have prayer requests, and usually I got a math test today. If they don't have anything, Matthew say, pray that I have a good day. I said, that's great. We'll pray you have a good day. And we have prayer. And I love family prayer. Nothing wrong with that. But you've got to have time where it's just you and the Lord. You and the Lord. And that's what Jacob is doing. He's all by himself. He's got to get a hold of God. He's got to hear from God. He's got to know God's will and that God is there for him. He needs that peace in his heart. So he must be left alone. And then the Bible says that he wrestled with that man. We must also pray and seek God's help in a way as if we're wrestling with God. I've heard old preachers say when I was growing up, they'd say, you got to get a hold of God sometimes. You got to get a hold of God sometimes. And I know what they mean. I would say, well, best thing is God get a hold of you. But I understand what they're saying. You got to get a hold of God. They're saying, boy, you've got to really wrestle with God about this thing. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to supplicate. You got to make intercession. Boy, there's things in your life. Listen to me. You know I'm right. There's some things that will come in your life that a little prayer is not going to help it. You're going to have to spend time in prayer. I mean, you're going to have to pray. You got to pray. You're going to have to get by yourself. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to weep. You're going to have to do that. And the Bible says that we have not because we ask not. And it's not talking about, Lord, I'd like for you to do this. Jesus' name, amen. No, it's talking about really asking. I mean, it's talking about begging God. I was talking about really you beg him so much that if somebody was talking to you as you were talking to God, you would call him a pest. I hope that we all in our prayer life, God would say, they're nothing but a bunch of pests. They just pester me all the time about that. That child that's not saved, they pester me all the time about saving that child. And now God's not going to say that, but you understand my logic there. We ought to just be pests about things when it comes to prayer, amen? Just pray and beg God, and that's what he's doing. He is wrestling this angel here, and it's a picture. Now, I think some of you would like this because God give this to me. There's some things that a wrestler does in a wrestling match that I want to say to you tonight that I see here in this story. Jacob has been a deceiver. Jacob, of course, is the youngest son. He's also been a married man. He's a father. But here in this last chapter, he takes on the role of a wrestler. He's a wrestler. And there's some things that a wrestler does before a wrestling match. Now listen to this. The first thing that a wrestler will do, watch this, he'll shed away some things. He'll take off some things. I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, and that's fake wrestling that I'm talking about. And boy, they'd come with all these costumes and robes. And boy, they was decked out. But they didn't get to the wrestling match like that. They'd take that robe off. They'd take that hat off or that crown off or whatever they were wearing. They'd take it off. Why? Because they don't need anything that would hinder them from wrestling. They needed not to have anything that would bind them or would be kind of getting in their way. They would shed themselves of things that are unnecessary. Are you with me? I'm telling you, if you're going to wrestle with God, first of all, you're going to have to shed some things in your life. You're going to have to confess some sins. You're going to have to get rid of some very unnecessary things in your life. You're going to have to say, Lord, I need to wrestle with you. I need to pray, but I've got some sin in my life, and it's dragging me down. It's just problems. It's going to hinder me from being the wrestler with you I need to be. So, Lord, forgive me. Are you with me? There's some things you got to shed first. Some things you got to take off first of all. Confess your sins. Second thing, I noticed that, I'm talking about real wrestlers, after they shed some things or take off some things, you can find in their eyes, see it in their demeanor, they have a mindset, they have their mindset on a particular goal. What goal is that? To win. Right? That's right. Their mind is set to win, to be a success. And I'm telling you, when you get on your knees, you've got to first of all shed some things, confess your sins. Get it out of the way because it's going to hinder you from wrestling with God. Number two, you're going to have in your heart, you're determined that you're going to get a hold of God. You're determined that nothing outside the house, nothing going on in the house is going to hinder you. That ball game that's on the TV is not going to stop you, not going to keep you from praying some little prayer. Whatever it is, whatever you do, you make sure you are determined, hey, I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to spend some serious time in getting a job done. Are you with me? Good stuff. Number three, you got to desperately cling to the one you're wrestling. You better desperately cling to the one you're wrestling, because if you don't, they're going to get a hold of you. You better hold on to them. You better, now when you watch college wrestling and you watch how they have that circle and how that, boy, they hold on to each other, they don't let go. Because if they know one let go, then the other one's going to get in the advantage position and he's going to be the one getting the count on him. They desperately cling to each other. Man, they don't let go. I mean, they're putting some hugs on each other when they wrestle, don't they? I mean, heck, whether it's around the head, right around the stomach, around the legs, around the waist, whatever it is, they are desperately clinging to the one they're wrestling. Listen to me. Oh, when we go through situations that are hard, oh, we go through the storms of life, we better desperately cling to the Lord. Amen. You better get a hold of God and you better hold on. You better cling to Him with all your might. And by the grace of God, as Jacob did, Jacob said, I'm not going to let go. You better cling to the Lord. You better cling to Him with all your might. You're going to get weak in your faith. You're going to get weak emotionally and mentally and spiritually, but you just cling to the Lord. You just cling to the Lord. And then the fourth thing that wrestlers do is they don't give up in defeat. They don't give up. They don't give up. They don't say, okay, I'm done. No, they don't want to lose. Oh, you're going to get weak. There's going to be times Satan's going to hinder you from praying. There's going to be times that you're going to get tired of praying about the same old thing every day. It's going to get old to you. But I'm telling you, just keep keeping on. Amen. Keep wrestling with God. Say, God, this is on my heart. I need it so desperately bad. I'm going to shed some things in my life. I'm going to confess my sin. My mind, my heart is determined for a goal. I'm praying with a purpose. I'm going to desperately cling to you because I have nowhere else to turn. You're the only one that can help me. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Even though someone may come by and say, if you're praying for a son to get saved, and they say, he'll never get saved, don't you give up. When the doctor says there's no hope for that person, don't give up. You say, I'm not giving up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fight until I breathe my last breath. I'm going to keep on keeping on. That's wonderful. Some things we can learn from Jacob the wrestler. Then the second picture that I want you to see is not only the picture of praying about something when you're fretful and frightful and something has burdened your heart. But the second thing I want you to see is a picture of a Christian yielding to God's will. It's a picture of how that you and I need to yield to the Word of God, the will of God, and make Him Lord in our life. There's a lot of Christians rightfully can call Jesus their Savior, but they cannot call Jesus their Lord. He's not Lord of their life. He saved them, but He's not their Lord. He's not in control of their life. They don't turn to Him. He's not sitting in the throne room of their heart as their Lord. He's not there. They're there. Or whatever else is there. God or Jesus is not number one to them. Yeah, they're saved. They're going to heaven like I am. But Jesus is not number one. Other things are. And I say to you, He's either Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. And it's a beautiful picture, and I want you to see this. Don't lose me. If you think that first picture was right on target, this second picture is going to be on target too. It's a picture of a Christian. Jacob was a person of God. Jacob loved God. Jacob was a man of God. And it's a picture of how you and I, if we're not careful, that we do some things that Jacob did here at the very beginning when it comes to God being God in our life. Notice the first thing, Jacob was resisting. Jacob was resisting. Keep this in mind. We're looking at a picture here of how you and I as Christians need to yield to God's will in our life. There's so many Christians that are not in the will of God today. He's not the Lord of their life. Number one, Jacob was resisting. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob finds himself struggling against this person. This person here is here for a purpose. He's here to conquer Jacob. He's here to get victory over Jacob. But Jacob is resisting it. Jacob is fighting back. Jacob is wrestling with this man. It was an angel that took on a bodily form that we know. And he is wrestling. He is resisting. How often have you and I in our own life when the Lord is trying to reveal His will and what we should do or what we shouldn't do, we resist God. We fight God. God says, you don't need to do that. I need it. Or you need to do this. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, you know I can't do that. We resist God like Jacob is resisting here. Are you with me? You with me? It's right there. I'm not hiding the Bible. Jacob resisting. You know what happens? Our pride, our selfish desires, our desire to fulfill our own self-will will keep us from yielding to God. Jacob is resisting. This angel wants to conquer him. This angel wants to overcome him, but he's fighting back. It's a beautiful picture of how Christians resist God's will. They resist the Lord being the Lord in their life. notice that this resistance lasted. I mean, he is resisting until the breaking of the day. I mean, until this was something serious. I mean, he is resisting. How many people wrestle with God? I know that before I got saved that I wrestled with God about my salvation. The Lord dealt with my heart and said, you need to be saved, and I wrestled with God. I resisted. And then thank God, he finally won. Hallelujah. Because I yielded to him, he gave me the victory. The Lord knows our flesh, doesn't he? He knows we're weak. He knows that we falter, we fail him every day. But the Lord knows if we're going to have true victory in our life, if we're going to have true peace in our life, we're going to have to yield to God. You won't have peace if you resist God. You won't have victory if you resist God. Jacob is resisting. So the Lord must wrestle with us sometimes until the breaking of the day. You ever been in a long wrestling match with God? And we're going to see later. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you're not going to win. You're not going to win. You may think you're doing something. You're not going to win. And I'm telling you, Jacob is resisting. God help us not to resist. God help us not to resist God when he's trying to do something in our life. Not fight against him. Number two, Jacob was crippled. Look at verse 25. And when the angel saw that he prevailed not against him, or Jacob, this angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Get this picture, they're wrestling. And it's going to the breaking of the day, and this angel in the form of a man is wrestling with Jacob. And the angel said, now Jacob was getting strength from God, and we're going to see all this. And so God is allowing Jacob to think that he's really doing something. And this angel just touches Jacob's thigh and knocks his hip out of joint. Jacob was crippled. Let me say this to you. The Lord so desires to see us yield to him and live according to his will, that he will even touch something in our lives. Amen. Something that we may consider is our strength. If you wrestle with God and you continue to choose to wrestle and resist God, and God is making his will plain to you, and you wrestle him, you resist him, God can touch something in your life and he can cripple you. He can cripple you financially. He can cripple you physically. He can do it emotionally, mentally. Why? Because he wants to make us stronger spiritually. Yeah. Jacob is crippled. Why? Because he chose to resist. And the angel had to touch him. Listen to me. I know people today that will stand. We've got some in our church. I know many people that will stand and say, I resisted God. I resisted God. Whether it was to be saved, whether it was to preach, whether it was to go to the mission field, whatever it was, that I resisted God and God touched something in my life. Something that I adored, something that I loved, something that I held dear to my heart. But I wrestled so with God and would not yield to his will that he touched something in my life. And they've been crippled by that. Jacob was crippled. Do you understand that? Better be very careful. If God wants to perform something in your life, you better yield to him, because he can put a touch on you that will cripple you. Jacob was crippled. Number three, Jacob was clinging. This is good stuff. Jacob not only was resisting, not only was Jacob crippled, but Jacob was clinging. So now after the angel touched his hip, his thigh there, knocks it out of joint, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now get this picture. Don't lose me. We're going to stop. Get this picture. Jacob is wrestling this. No doubt at the very beginning, he don't have any idea who it is. It's some enemy, some stranger, maybe a robber or a thief. Somehow this angel, who he thinks is just a man, ordinary man, maybe comes up behind him and just grabs Jacob. And Jacob, as any man would do, and probably most of you women, would fight back, wrestle back. So they get, and what have they got? Here is Jacob. He's got the guy in a headlock, and he's rubbing his head, and this angel's got him under the waist and choking him, picking him up and down, and boy, they're going at it. Then they roll on the floor like one of them good cowboy western movies where they all fight and their hat never falls off. I love that. And boy, they're wrestling all over the ground, and they got to hold each other, and Jacob is resisting. And then all of a sudden, this man, Jacob's going to find out that this is not an ordinary man. Because this man's going to reach out and touch Jacob on his thigh. And just like that, Jacob felt his thigh, his hip went out of joint. And Jacob, without a doubt, realizes that this is an angel. This is not some ordinary man. And you say, how does he know it's an angel? Because he asked the angel something that only an angel could do from God. Bless him. And he says to this angel, the angel says, let me go. You ever wrestle with somebody and you know maybe your child or whatever and you're wrestling with them and they might have a hold of your leg or something, your foot, and you got a hold of their head and you put more pain on them than they're putting on you and you say, let me go. And they say, nah, let me go, boy. You better let me go. He's saying, that the angel said to Jacob. Jacob said, I'm not going to let thee go except thou bless me. What is he doing? What is the picture? It's a picture of Jacob clinging. Now watch this. In verse 24, watch this. Jacob is resisting. By the time we get to verse 26, he's no longer resisting, but now he's clinging. Are you with me? Do you understand that? In verse 24, he is resisting. But by the time you get to verse 26, he is clinging. He goes from doing this, resisting, to clinging. He goes from pushing away to embracing. What made the difference? What changed the scene? I tell you what changed the scene. What made the difference was his strength was broken. What made the difference was in verse number 25, he lost his strength. He realized he is weak. Listen to me. If you are resisting God tonight, when God brings something in your life and he reveals to you the truth that you're weak without him, you're nothing without him, you're in trouble without him, you'll go from resisting God to clinging to God. Are you with me? That's some of the most important things you'll probably ever hear in your life, what I just told you. If you're resisting God tonight, God can touch you and make you weak. He can put you on your back, and you'll go from resisting God to clinging to God. That's what God will do. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Now, watch this. Jacob doesn't have enough strength to resist anymore, does he? He's been hurt. But it's amazing to me, Brother Bobby, that although he doesn't have enough strength to resist, he does have enough strength to cling. Hey, man, preacher, good preaching tonight. That's wonderful stuff. Hallelujah. He don't have enough strength to resist, but he's got enough to cling to get. I tell you, there's times in my life that I just get weak. I've been fighting God. I've just been denying, resisting God. I just lose my strength. But yet God gives me the strength to hold on to Him during those times too. Boy, what a wonderful thought tonight. What a wonderful thought. How you and I need to leave the resisting the Lord. Resisting Him to be in Lord in our life. Resisting Him to be number one in our life. and start clinging to the Lord. Because if we don't cling and we continue to resist, God may touch something in our life. And it may cripple us. Just so that we might know we're nothing without Him. We need Him. We desperately need the Lord. So Jacob now is clinging. And I'm not going to finish this because my time is up. I've got some things that, other things, but he's clinging, and because that he's clinging, the Bible says that because he clings, he gets blessed. You'll never go wrong clinging to the Lord. Amen. You'll enjoy blessings in your life that you've never enjoyed before, all because you're determined to no longer resist the Lord, but now you're determined to cling to the Lord. Amen. You're no longer pushing God out of your life. You're no longer pushing Him away, but now you're embracing Him. Yeah. Instead of holding Him back, now you're holding Him close. Amen. What a wonderful place to be. It's a horrible place, a very unpeaceful place when you resist God. But it's such a peaceful place when you're clinging to God. Oh, may God help us to learn from this wrestler, Jacob, some things that he did as he wrestled this angel. This angel was a messenger of God. He was a representative of God. And he knew this angel was there because God sent him. And Jacob tried to resist it. And so the Lord allowed him his strength to be touched. And because of that, he realized, oh God, I'm weak without you. I need you, God. And then he began to cling unto the Lord. Thank God. No wonder you see so many folks that just, they don't have a whole lot in life. No wonder you see a lot of folks that have a lot of health issues. They seem to be some of the ones that love Jesus the most. They just seem to be the ones that have such a tender relationship with the Lord. Why? Because they cling unto the Lord. And when you do that, you'll be blessed. Jacob was blessed because he clinged unto the Lord. Well, I hope that was a real blessing to you tonight. That was thoughts the Lord gave me. And I hope that it'll help you.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.